The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you sent your Holy Spirit to be the life and light of your church. Open our hearts to the riches of your grace, that we may be ready to receive you whenever you appear. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Awesome. So, about 10 years ago for me, I was in Boy Scouts. And we would go on camping trips, and it was really fun.
And you can choose what you got to do.
Kind of, yes. So, we would go camping a lot. And so one weekend we headed east and we went camping in these like little cabins, but they were like cabins with wooden floors, but they had canvas tents over them. And the first night was fine. I slept fine. It was okay. But I heard screaming in the morning. Right as we all woke up, there was a kid screaming going like this, and we were all like, what is happening? Turns out that during the night, a bunch of mice crawled into his sleeping bag and got in his shirt. And he sleeps with his shirt tucked in, so they were just squirming around in his shirt. So the next night, I go to bed, kind of, but I remember I had my flashlight in my hand the entire night, pointing at the floor and just staring at it. And Joey, the guy sleeping next to me, is like, are you going to keep your light on all night? And I said, yes. And so I barely got sleep that entire night because I was just so afraid of waking up. And the guy's name who had the mice in his shirt was also Tyler. So maybe they had a thing for Tyler. She got any sleep that night. And it wasn't a good night. I woke up in the morning. I was tired the next day. I wasted my entire battery on my flashlight.
And I'm not a boring person either.
Yeah. And so what I want to tell you guys, the point of the story, is that you can go and stay up all night with your flashlight on, looking at the floor, waiting for the mice, and being fearful the entire night that something's going to come for you. And that you can do that with your life, too, just waiting and being fearful. But in the gospel message that we're going to hear today, it says, do not be afraid, little flock. Do not be afraid. And this might be the last thing I tell you guys, but I want you to listen carefully. Do not be afraid, because God is with you. So don't be afraid, though. Don't be afraid to go and do things. Don't be afraid of the mice. If the mice come into your sleeping bag, oh, well, God is with you. If you're going to stay up all night with your flashlight on something, stay up all night waiting for God and pray. Don't be afraid. So that's what I'm going to leave you guys with. And so do one of you guys want to carry the Bible? Okay, I have to give it to you. Wait, you never got to carry it. How about you both carry it, and then we can both. Okay, so let's sing them out and get going.
Reading from Genesis. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, you have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, this man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, look towards the heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them. Then he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 33 responsively. Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord. Happy the people chosen to be God's heritage.
Sees all humankind.
God sits firmly enthroned and watches all who dwell on the earth.
God fashions all.
A king is not saved by the size of the army, nor are warriors rescued by their great strength. The horse gives vain hope for victory, despite its great strength it cannot save. Truly, your eye is upon those who fear you, O Lord, upon those who wait for your steadfast love.
To deliver their lives from death, and to keep them alive in time of famine.
Our innermost being waits for you, O Lord, our helper and our shield.
Surely your heart rejoices in you, for in your holy name we put our trust.
Let your loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us, even as we place our hope in you.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from Hebrews. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out not knowing where he was going. By faith he stayed for a time in the land that he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this is one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven, and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth. For people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. And if he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." The Gospel of the Lord.
Besides your confirmation verse that you probably memorized,
How are you at other Bible verses? What is Genesis 1:1? In the beginning, God created the world. Yes, that's it. We know that one. God created the heaven and earth. Okay, Gail, don't answer this one. John 3:16. We always get the first part, but we forget the second part. So, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that everyone who believes in him may have not perish, but may have life everlasting, eternal life. Okay, one more. Luke 12:32. You just heard that. Exactly, exactly. It's the one that we just heard. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I think we need to memorize that. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The promise in that Luke 12:32 can hold so much hope for us, almost more than any other verse in the Bible. That's because this verse is all about God and what God is doing in our lives. It's not about what we do. It's only about God and about God's pleasure. This is good news. This is a promise for us. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What good news that is. God doesn't want to give us just some things. God doesn't just hope that we're doing well. God isn't like an Olympic judge with a clipboard, watching our every move, watching our every misstep. God wants to give us the kingdom and all good things. And not only does he want to, Jesus says that it's God's good pleasure. God wants to give us the kingdom and all good things. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's good to have that verse in your memory bank, to know it by heart, because we hear way too many loud voices that say just the opposite in our world today. In this current election cycle, we are told to be afraid. We should be afraid. And if we put all of our trust in a person or in a party, we have reason to fear. Today we're told to fear outsiders, fear anyone who is different from us in race or religion, in nationality or political leaning. But that is not what Jesus says. Jesus says, do not be afraid. And we don't have to be afraid because we can trust in God's grace. We have God's grace. But remembering that unconditional grace is only half the story. We're not only freed from anxiety, especially regarding our relationship with God, but we're also freed for. We're freed for life in this world. And that's the key to the gospel promise. We are free from the fear of scarcity so that we can be generous with others. We are free from the fear of condemnation so that we can be forgiving to others. We are free from falling short or failing or being unacceptable so that we can live for others, sharing with others the good news that God is pleased to give us, all of us, that God is pleased to give us the kingdom. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. In that promise is an invitation rather than a command. It's an invitation to prioritize, to share, to be prepared for what comes, to give things away. Now you might wonder, what's the difference between an invitation and a command? And it's all in how we hear it. It's only in how we hear it. A command implies coercion. I think of this. My brother used to do that to me all the time. and invite me to do something for him. Not so much an invitation as coercion, but an invitation in this gospel, because we have Jesus' promise that it's God's pleasure to give us the kingdom. We are invited, not coerced. We are invited then to be totally free, to give away, to care for others, to spend ourselves in service, to find our security and our confidence not in our earthly possessions or in our accomplishments, but rather in our relationship with God. In that text that we heard, there is another promise. Maybe it's more of a reminder than a promise. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I often hear this verse misquoted. We get it mixed up and say that where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be. But Jesus says it the other way around. He says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will follow. How we use our treasure, how we spend our money, determines where our heart will be, what we will love. The stewardship of our time and treasure is the way to form our Christian lives. It's the way to walk in discipleship, and then our heart will follow. We do want to follow what Jesus teaches us. We want to hold on to our possessions lightly. We want to sell what we have in order to give to the poor and take care of the needs of the poor, to be generous toward others as God is generous. That's the way that we can open our hands to receive the good gifts that God, in his pleasure, wants to give us, to experience that it is God's pleasure to give us the kingdom. We know the truth that it's not wise to find security or try to find security and peace in our treasures, in our nest egg or slush funds. We know the truth of that. And as long as we try to rely only on ourselves and on what we've stored up, we will never be free of fear. We know too well that there are lots of things that we can't control, no matter how much money we have. If we wait to be generous until we feel like we have enough or that we can afford it, we will never be generous. The flip side of that, though, is that when we can let go of those things that we've worked so hard for, that we thought would give us security, we discover what really is secure in this world, what is rock solid through all of the changes and the chances that life has to dish out to us. We discover that it is God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom, and what a gift God wants to give to you. You are God's beloved child. And while there's nothing in this life that can take that away, there are all kinds of things that we grab onto that insulate us from experiencing God's kingdom gift. It's easy to hear, "Do not be afraid, little flock," but it's hard to do when your heart is torn between trusting God on the one hand and then listening to those crazy things that Jesus says on the other hand, trusting what our culture says about what we should fear and who we should fear, and trusting God's promise and invitation. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. This is not a prosperity gospel that says that if you put your treasure to where God's heart is, then you will be blessed with even more treasure, more prosperity. This is an identity gospel. If we choose to behave as children of God, if we let Jesus be our role model, that's where our treasure is, with Jesus, and our hearts will follow. We take that step that the world says is foolishness, and we experience as a result of that trust not only a deeper intimacy with God, but also the real love that is in community. Generosity leads to generosity. Trust leads to trust. Love and concern leads to love and concern. This morning we heard the story of Abraham and his faith. In both the reading from Genesis and from the reading from the letter to the Hebrews, that word faith here doesn't mean an intellectual assent to a doctrine or a teaching. This faith is trust, allegiance. Less about what we might call the creed and more about a relationship. Having faith is not trying to persuade yourself that you, Having faith is not about trying to persuade yourself that you are convinced about something. Faith isn't measured like a steady needle on a lie detector test that says, yes, I do believe that. Faith is like Abraham saying, God will make us a people. We will have a homeland. Faith is when, despite your pounding heart and your anxiety, you take that next step. You walk into the desert, not knowing where you're going, but trusting that God will lead you. Your heart will follow your feet, and you will become more fully the person that God sees as your true identity. This gospel challenges us to let our heart follow our feet, to be transformed into people who wholeheartedly follow all of Jesus' message and are open to receive the kingdom. Sometimes we have trouble remembering and acting on that promise. So we need to pray for ourselves and for one another to remember, to open our hands, to not be afraid. We, the beloved children of God, are free in Christ. And to quote my favorite shoe logo, just do it. Because we are free, we can just do it. We can love our neighbor. We can care for creation, reach out to those in need, give for the sheer joy of giving, forgive as we are forgiven, embrace the future without fear, and receive all of those good gifts in humility and gratitude. And why should we do that? Why should we just do it? Because that's what God wants for us and from us. But even more than that, just do it. Because this is what God has freed us for. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. Open your hands, receive the gifts that God so wants to give us, and keep your hand open to give to those who need. Amen.